Okay, we left off at the bottom of Gimel Mitbeh with the incident between Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, Rabbi Nathan, and Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel instituted that there should be some sort of differentiation in the kavod afforded to the Nasi versus the Av Beit Din versus the Talmud Chacham, that there would be a hierarchy in the kavod so people would understand that there is some difference in their positions. Rabbi Nathan and Rabbi Meir took offense to that, objected to it. They tried to undermine Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, but they failed because Rabbi Yaakov ben Karshi intervened to stop the problem or to protect Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. And then Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel eventually lets them back into the Beit Midrash, Rabbi Nathan and Rabbi Meir, but they were still punished, mida keneged mida, that Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Nathan are not known or not mentioned by their names explicitly in the Mishnayot, but rather Rabbi Meir is known as Acherim, and Rabbi Nathan is known as Yesh Omrim inside of the Mishnah. So now the story continues in the last line on Vigimar Bet. Matlele Rabbi, the Rabbi Shimon Berei. Rabbi was teaching his son Rabbi Shimon a Mishnah. Acherim Omrim. So this is a Mishnah with Acherim Omrim, which would be Rabbi Meir. Ilu haya tmura lo haya karev. This is a machloket between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir in the Gemara in Bechorot, which we'll get to in a little bit. There, they're talking about Maiser Behemot. In Maiser Behemot, you have 10 animals that come out of the corral, and every 10th animal that comes out, you mark as Skira, you put a mark on it, and that becomes Kodesh with Maiser Behema. What ended up happening here was that he ended up counting the 9th, the 10th, and the 11th ended up being counted as the 10th by accident. And because of that, now you have 9, 10, and 11. What do you do in this instance? Shloshtan Megudashim, all three of them are Kadosh. The Chi'i, the number 9, is Nechal B'Mumo. That means that when it gets a blemish in it, when it gets a mum in it, then it can be eaten. Hasiri, the 10th one, becomes Ma'aser. And the Achadasar is Karev Shlamim. Is brought as a Shlamim, not as a Maser, not as a Korban Maser Behema, but rather as a Shlamim. So on that Shlamim, what happens if someone makes a Tmura on that Shlamim? On that number 11, if you make a Tmura, what's the din? Rabbi Yehuda says, doesn't work. Because there's no such thing, ain't tmura oseh tmura. You can't have a double exchange. A tmura is where you try to exchange one behemoth for another. If a behemoth that's kodesh, then you say, listen, instead of that being kodesh, I want to change it over to the behemoth I have to be kodesh. We're going to swap them out. I'm going to swap this behemoth for the behemoth kodesh. The Torah says, hu utmurato iya kodesh. It fails. You can't do it. And both animals become kodesh. But Rabbi Yehuda as a principle is ain tmura, say tmura. Once you've done this exchange once, if you try to do it again with the animal, for instance, you originally had animal number 1, that was kodesh. Took animal number 2, tried to exchange it with animal number 1, doesn't work, so 1 and 2 are kodesh now. Then you bring along animal number 3, and you try to exchange that with animal number 2. Rabbi Yehuda says, that's not called tmura, because you can't have a derivative of tmura. You can't have a tmura le tmura. So that's, he says over here, if you take number 11, the reason number 11 is Kodesh is only because number 10 was Kodesh. Number 10 is the real number, real Maser Behema. Number 11 is Kodesh because it's Tmurat, it's like an exchange of number 10. So now, if you come to exchange an animal with this number 11, it won't work. That's what Rabbi Yehuda says. Rabbi Meir objection says, yes, it does work. That if you try to do Tmurat on the 11th animal, it works. He goes, how do I know? Because he says, ilu haya tmura lo ya karev. Tmura, when you do an exchange of animals, the tmura, hu tmurata ye kodesh, the exchange of the animal does not go on the mizbeach. That's what Rabbi Meir says. You have animal number 1 that's kodesh, take animal number 2 and try to exchange it, hu tmurata ye kodesh, but not that it goes on the mizbeach. Number 2 doesn't go on the mizbeach. The fact that number 11 is brought as a shlamim and goes on the mizbeach is a proof to you that it's not a tmura. And therefore now when you come with animal number 3 and you try to exchange it with this 11, it will work because it's not tmura. If it's not tmura, then we can't say ain't tmura toh, say tmura. That's what the discussion's about. Not relevant to our Gemara whatsoever, but that's what Rebbe was teaching his son Rebbe Shimon. That achayim harim haya tmura lo haya karev. Amarlo. Mi heim halalu shmimehem anu shutim ushmotam enu amaskirim. Who are these people? This is Rabbi Shimon Berei saying to Rabbi, Who are these acherim that we're talking about here? We're drinking their Torah, and we don't mention their names explicitly. So Amar Lei Bnei Adam Shebikshu Lakor Kvodcha Kvod Beit Avicha. Remember, Rebbe is that he's a Nasi in Eretz Yisrael. The descendant is Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel, he's from the lineage of the Nasiim of Eretz Yisrael. So he says, this is someone who tried to depose your forefather, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, would have gotten rid of Kvod Chodcha, you would not have been a Nasi, Kvod Beit Avicha. Tamarlei, Gam Ahavtam, Gam Sinatam, Gam Kinatam, Kvar Avada. When someone dies, when they're dead, it's all over. All the love, the hate, the jealousy, all the feelings that we have towards a person has towards someone else, once they die, it's over. There's nothing more to talk about. So he says, you know, Avar Zmano, it's past already. Rav Shimon says, this is a way in the past. Why we still hold the grudge so many years later? Whatever the dispute was, whatever the problem was, it's gone now. The person's passed away. So Rebbe responds to him, Amalei, Ha'ev Tamu Charavot LaNetzach. That when it comes to the enemy, his ruins are forever gone. Now the Pashtuta Pasuk is talking about the enemy himself, that Ha'yev Tamu Charavot LaNetzach, that his ruins are forever gone, meaning that they're no longer around. But Rebbe is interpreting it meaning that Charavot LaNetzach, that his destruction or that which he ruined for his LaNetzach remains forever. So even though Tamu Ha'yev, the Ha'yev is gone, nevertheless the Charavot LaNetzach, the ruins or that which he tried to accomplish, still remains behind. Or you could read the Pasuk to be referring to Charavot are swords. And then Pashtuta Pasuk is not what Rebbe is saying. Ha'yev Tamu Charavot LaNetzach, that the enemy is destroyed, its swords also are destroyed forever. I mean, that it references back to the Tamu, that everything is destroyed. But the way Rabbi's reading it is, Ha'yev Tamu, that even though the enemy is destroyed, Charavot LaNetzach, the swords last forever. The swords are still remain. So the pain and the difficulty that was caused and the ability to question the Nesiot still was there, and therefore we don't mention it. Says that's only if it works. You can say Aleiv Tamu Charavot LaNetzach, the damage they did will last forever. That's when they did some damage, that's when they accomplished something. But over here they did not succeed. Rabbanan lohanu masayu. They didn't succeed at deposing Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. So how could you claim that Ha'yev Tamu Charavot LaNetzach? So Hadar Atnilei. So Rebbe acquiesced to his son's request, and then he taught the mission again. Amru Mishum Rabbi Meir Ilu Hayat Murah Lo Yakarev. So instead of Acherim, he says Mishum Rabbi Meir. So Amar Rav Afilu Rabbi Dan Batanatahu. We know that Rabbi was a tremendous anav. Right? Even Rabbi was a tremendous anav. Tana, listen to what he said. He said, Amru Mishum Rabbi Meir. He doesn't say Rabbi Meir, Amar Rabbi Meir, Lo Amar. Right, he doesn't say Amar Rabbi Meir. He says, Mishum Rabbi Meir. Still didn't give him the full credit. He still had a little a twist in there that showed that there was something wrong with what Rabbi Meir had done. And therefore he said, Mishum Rabbi Meir and not Amar Rabbi Meir. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Pligi Bo Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Rabbanan. There's a machlokas between Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel and the Rabbanan. Since we're talking about Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel and the Rabbanan, there's a machlokas between them. Same machlokas appears at the end of the Masechet Brachot. Chalamar Sinai Adif, Chalamar Ukir Harim Adif. One of them says that B'kiyut, knowledge of the content, is more important. Chalamar Ukir Harim Adif. The other one says no. Ion, the one who can be mapech in the sugyot, can ask questions, be mefalpel b'torah, and charif in Torah, is more important. Rashi calls, why is he called the Sinai? Because it's so stura b'fiv, the Mishnayot, the Breitot. Ro stura b'fiv, kinitininatan mi har Sinai. It's as if he got them directly from har Sinai, he knows them so well. And the Oker Harim is, we've seen the type of imagery before, which is, Ayah, Lokeh Acharim, Umtachnan Achad Imasheni. Takes two mountains and crushes them together. And that's Pilpul Charif, the strength of the ability to question, understand, and get to the Amkuta Sugya. Now the Gemara says, we have an example. This is what was discussion in the end of the Gemara in Brachot. There's Rav Yosef Sinai. Rav Yosef was an example of a Sinai. Rabba Oker Harim. Rabba was an Oker Harim. Shalchul Tamai Nezimim Kodim. And they were up for, they needed to decide who was going to be the Rosh Yeshiva. Should the Rosh Yeshiva be Rav Yosef or the Rosh Yeshiva should be Rabbah? Which is more important here? Who takes precedence? Rav Yosef who's the Sinai or Rabbah who's the Oker Harim?
Maybe you can connect it also to what we read to the Mishnah.
Sefer Ketimot over here. They're asking who goes Kodim. Me Kodim. So Chulat Aman is sent over. Ezmem Kodim. Sent to Eretz Yisrael. Who goes first? Shachulu Sinai Adif. And they agree that Sinai, the one who has the knowledge, the Bikiyut, is more important. The Amar Mara called Tzrichim Namare Chitayim. Everybody needs the food supplier. I mean that you're only good. You can only be an Oker Harim if you have content with which to be Oker Harim. The Sinai is the most important. We need to pass on the Nesorah. We need the Torah Shebal Peh. We need a complete and whole Torah Shebal Peh. So more important is the Sinai than is the Oker Harim. Now that's true. I would say two things. One is, it's true in the time of the Gemara when they're learning Baal Peh. So the most important person was the person who actually had the Nesorah, who had the Mishnayot and Braytot. Today, where it's all in print, then the significance of Sinai is diminished. Because Torah Shebal Peh is now written down. And to know everything about Peh isn't as maybe as important as Oker Harim, although today it still has relevance in terms of Bikiyut, the ability to have the span of Torah, the ability to, when they are teaching and learning and giving Psak Halacha, to have a grasp of the entirety of Torah, not just the location about which we are speaking. So because of that, that would have indicated, if Sinai is Adif, then who should have gone first is Rabbi Yosef. Rav Yosef was unwilling to accept the position of Rosh Yeshiva, and he deferred to Rabbah. So therefore, Malach Rabbah, Esrim V'Tarte Shnin, for 22 years, Rabbah was the Rosh Yeshiva, and Rav Yosef remained on the sidelines. V'hadar Malach Rav Yosef. And only after that did Rav Yosef become the Rosh Yeshiva. Choshani de Malach Rabbah. All the years that Rabbah was the Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Yosef, Akilu Umno the Beit Alo Cholif. He would not even have a bloodletter come to his house to service him personally. So Rashi brings down the two interpretations about this. He says, first of all, Rashi's gears are slightly different. He says, Umna the Beiti lo kara. He didn't call a umna. He didn't call a bloodletter to come to his house, rather than what we have an argument, which is, Afil Umna the Beiti lo cholif. Didn't pass by his house or come into his house. But here, he didn't call for one to come. Shalo ratzal in hog svarabi atzmo. He didn't want to act with a mido of kavod that we afforded him. Kol tan shanim shemach rabba. As long as Rabba was Rosh Yeshiva, he didn't want to act in any way that diminished from Rabba being the Rosh Yeshiva or him looking like he's the Rosh Yeshiva. Afilu b'hai seruta shlo ratza lavi shum uman b'toch beto. He didn't bring any uman. I don't think Rashi means uman in general, but uman in terms of a kazad dam. Ella kushurotze lakiz dam haya uman al b'tei de Rabba. They used to do a house call, but the house call was to the Rosh Yeshiva. Shema Yamekis. So Rav Yosef used to go over to Rabbah's house in order to get the services over there. I mean, the personal service was done for Rabbah, came to his house, and everybody else had to go to Rabbah's house. He had no time to get his blood let. He was like a Talmud lifnei Rabbo. He acted in such a manner which he had no extra moments. He had no free time. He didn't take any break or didn't act with any gdula. He simply sat there like a Talmud lifnei Rebbe, and therefore he had no time to mimikiz dam. Here the Gemara does not discuss it, but the Gemara in Brachot does discuss the fact that, or the proof to hear is, kol docheket ashah, anybody who pushes time, ashah dochako, then time pushes him. The other way around, b'kol she'ashah dochako, anyone who lets time push him, who docheket ashah. So there was, the Gemara there discusses that Rav Yosef was destined to pass away after he became Rosh Yeshiva after a couple of years. So had he accepted the position of Rosh Yeshiva up front like he was supposed to, he would have died 22 years earlier. Because as soon as he had fulfilled whatever the gzeira was when he became Rosh Yeshiva, he would have died. The fact that he let Rabbah rule for 22 years to be the Rosh Yeshiva 22 years, that means he lived an additional 22 years before he became Rosh Yeshiva. So he extended his life by 22 years. So that's where the Gemara says, Kol she'ashah dochako, the one who doesn't push the time, I mean, he doesn't force the fact of becoming Rosh Yeshiva, who docheket ashah, he won. He was able to overcome, and he lived 22 years longer than he was supposed to. That's not here, but that is part of the Gemara in Brachot. Now, the Gemara continues. Abaye v'Rava v'Rab Zera v'Rabu v'Manu v'Yadvei v'Abu Tzvi Chareisha. The four Amoraim were sitting together, and they wanted one of them to become the leader, to become the head of the group. Abaye Rava, Rab Zera, Rabu, but they didn't know how to pick. Amrei Kol Damar Milta Below Ma'afrik L'Havei Reisha. Anybody who says a memra that no one else can shlug up, he'll become the Rosh Hashiva. The Kulu Yifrich. All of them said a memra, and they was questioned by their friends, or was undermined by their friends. The Abaye lo yifrich. Abaye said something, and he was not mufrach. They couldn't undermine it. They couldn't question it. He said something that was accepted by all. Chazi Rabba, the Abaye, the Gava Reisha. So Rabba saw that Abaye was beginning to lift up his head, meaning that take on the position of Kavod. Now you have to understand here, Abaye and Rava are contemporaries. Rabba is really almost like a Rebbe to them. He brought them up in his house. He, after Abaye's father passed away, Rabba took on Abaye and Rava as Talmidim, but also in a sense as children. Abaye is a Talmud Chover to Rabba. So Rabba, who is the older of them, says, Abaye, the Gavareshi saw that he was lifting up his head. Amalei Nachmani, Tach Ve'ema. Open up, start your drasha. You're now the Rosh. You are the Rosh now. Please go ahead and start giving the drasha. Now the question of what Nachmani, where is the word Nachmani? Why is Abaye called Nachmani? Rashi over here has a parenthesis which is taken out by the Achronim, which is, Iged Amri de Lashon Ganai Karile. There was Lashon Ganai Nachmani, Klomer, Adayin Atal Talmido Shel Rav Nachman. Nachmani, meaning the Talmud of Rav Nachman. You're not independent. You're not somebody who's so chashuv. You're still a Talmud of Rav Nachman. Most of them take this girsa out. Rashi then doesn't have an explanation why they called him Nachmani. The Tosfos, right. Tosfos HaRosh over here brings down what David just mentioned, which is, if you go to the left, it's on the left side, the Tosfos HaRosh, it says, Uperish Rav Haigon, Dabai Nachmani Shmo, that was his name. He was the nephew of Rabba Bar Nachmani. So he was a nephew. He was named after his grandfather, Nachmani. But his parents passed away, and then his uncle, Rabba, took him on as a child. Now Rabba was in a problem. Rabba's father was named Nachmani, and now Rabba's adopted son, Abaye, was also named Nachmani. So he couldn't call Abaye by his name, Nachmani, because that would be using or calling his father's first name for Rabba. So lo Rabba yelo kol b'chosh notav Nachmani b'shem Abui. El David karele Abaye, b'lashon Arami, it means Abaye in Aramaic, she'kadam shekore Avi. That Abaye means Avi, my father. He called him my father to Abaye, like my father, because his name was his father's name. So he didn't want to say his father's name, so he called him father, or like father. Then, other people, Veselik Le Abaye, became in Shayam min ha'avot v'agdullah, Kurye Rabbonon Hochi. So that became his nickname, Abaye. And then the other Rabbonon accepted that nickname because Abaye rose to become a Rosh Hashiva, to be a leader in Torah. Once we did that, they kept the name Abaye, which was appropriate, father, like Rav. We say Rav in the same way, which is that it's a statement of Kavod, a statement of Gdula. So to over here, they use the name Avi in the same way. So Abaye's name that was used by Rabba then became adopted broadly by the community or the Talmid Chachamim in general because of his stature. So that's what his real name is, Nachmani. And that's Rabba. Rabba now is calling him Nachmani. It's possible here that he called him Nachmani after Rabba's father passed away. Then he could call him Nachmani. He had to call him Abaye as long as his father was alive. Once his father passed away, then he could call him Nachmani. He says him, Nachmani Petach Ve'ema. So now the Gemara goes back to the same question of Sinai and Oker Harin. Ibalo Rabbi Zera ve'Rabba bar Rav Matna. Haimi Nayu Adif. Which is, who is more important? Is it Rabbi Zera or Rabba bar Rav Matna? Rabbi Zera Charif Umakshe. Rabbi Zera is sharp and is an excellent questioner. He's mifarek. He always asks questions, he undermines, he's good. If someone has a memra, he always gets to the bottom of it, he asks the right questions. Rabba bar Rav Matna Matun. He's someone who is gentle, relaxed, laid back, umesik, and he's able to answer questions. Mai, what's the din? Teiku. That they leave it at teiku. There they weren't able to come to a conclusion. Over here, we're not asking about Sinai or Karim, but we're talking about an approach. What's better to have around? Is someone who is sharp and asks very strong questions. That way, then anybody who brings up a memra or wants to have psak halacha, you always have someone who can challenge them and make sure that they get it al borya, that they get things right. Whereas Rabbi Bar Matna, true, he wasn't a challenger, but he took his time. By taking his time, he was able to come to the right conclusion. He came to Masik. He's able to answer questions and come to the right conclusion, although he may not be able to push others and to get to the bottom line with others. So the Gemara leaves it as a Mai Teku. That's the end of the Masechet Oriot, as well as Seder Nezikin. And Mizvet Hashem will start tomorrow with Seder Kochim and Masechet Zvachim. Zal Tov.